yesterday I said at the funeral home that from the Lord's own words, we have as an act of faith that none of us knows what heaven is like. He said the same to his apostles in the words, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it even entered into the mind of us, the human beings, what God has prepared for those who love him." And as is often the case, when we don't know quite what is waiting for us, we use poetry and imagination and analogy to speak of something we don't know. So we take from Jesus' own words, who said, "You don't know what's waiting for you," but he did speak in parables. And one of the interesting things, when Jesus speaks in parables about heaven, he never speaks about it as sleeping, never speaks about it as being on a cloud, listening to harp music, or any of the other boring pictures that people in popular culture would paint. He speaks of it as a party, as a hostina, as a banquet, where there is music, where there is dancing, where there is fellowship with brothers and sisters who are alive. We know of no life that sits still, that doesn't change. Why should it be different in heaven? And so when we sing the service today and the Panichida is speaking about a banquet in heaven, but it's sung in a minor key because we are not there. There's a party, a banquet going on in heaven, and the one we love is separated from us. I remember when my sister was giving birth to her second child, and her oldest, Michael, was crying at home and saying, "I want mommy back." He didn't care there was new life and a new brother was being born to him. He was separated from someone he loved. And so it is often the case that we mourn, as all people do, when we are separated from the people that we love, but we proclaim in faith that there is a banquet going on, that life continues. Just as in the many stages of our own life, we see the changes that happen, and sometimes miraculously, and the intimations to immortality that we find in nature. If you put a table in front of you, and someone would put seeds of all the flowers and trees that are in nature, you might be able to guess an oak from an acorn and maybe one or two others. But you would never be able to guess all the varieties that come from a little seed in nature, which is planted into the ground, which has to, in a sense, fall apart and spread out its roots before it becomes a mighty tree, a sequoia, 100, 200, 300 feet tall. But if you showed it to a child and you see this little tree, it will be a 200-foot sequoia. The child would say, "You're drunk, you're nuts, you're dumb. How could this seed possibly become that?" And that is why the early Christians called their cemeteries the place of the seed, where our weak human nature is planted into the ground to sprout into eternal life. And this was called the field of the Lord, where nature gives us a little taste of what wonders can happen even here. How much more can they happen in heaven, when the Lord prepared such a wondrous place for us here? And the final thought is this. There is such a thing as a lazy Christianity. There's a lazy atheism, a lazy agnosticism that wants somebody or something to do everything for us. When I teach little children religion, I said, don't pray to God to help you tie your shoes. Bend over and tie them yourself. He gave you fingers and he gave you a mind. Don't look to God to answer questions of the universe. He gave you a mind. Use it. There is a dynamism both in the universe and in us that is meant to be entered into. That body and soul, mind and heart We look at beauty, and just as we gather information with our mind, we gather information with our heart, and we express it in science and poetry and philosophy, the richness of this human experience. Cornelia did this for 100 years in her own way, because she understood that cooperating with the gift of life means you don't waste it. It is not a lazy religion, a lazy humanity, but an active and interactive cooperation with the divine when we use the gifts that he gave us to reach our full potential and to enter into friendship and fellowship with the brothers and sisters around us. Her journey is over. There is an ancient custom in the Ukrainian church that the priest says, anything she did wrong to you, that she said or forgot to say, forgive her, because forgiveness gives love a new breath. And anything she did good for you, said to you, encouraged you, then do the same for others. Build her a living monument with your own life. Be an active person who believes in this gift that we have given, not as something that simply needs to be unwrapped, but shared, cooperated, in one word, lived. The Christians are not afraid of death, because we don't know what it is, but we are afraid of not living well, of wasting the gift that has been given. This is the only tragedy. We will see what we will see when we die, but we definitely know what we can do when we are alive. She left us an example. She lived with us and prayed with us. May we see all those opportunities and grab them. Carpe diem, seize the day for goodness, for joy, not simply for what I need, but what can I give to others, because this is another way that we enrich ourselves profoundly with each other's lives. Slava Isusu Christu!